So our whole thing is to be able to get energy to just move through your body and out without getting attached, without having to analyze it, without having blame attached. So that wuji state takes a little practice. It's in a lot of our forms. But once you get that, it's a little bit like riding a bicycle. You're never going to forget it. And the feeling is so very powerful. So that's all part of it. And let me just say about our Mei Qi Gong.
Welcome to Into the Light podcast. This is where we will be discussing and exploring all things ascension. Ascension journey mapping, and understanding how we can deepen and increase our spiritual and healing journey, along with understanding concepts around the global consciousness awakening that's happening, quantum energy healing, personal growth and enlightenment, trauma healing, and so much more as we learn together from experts in the field. I'm your host, Adina Movana, and I appreciate you taking the time to join me today. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to Into the Light. I'm your host, Adina Movana. Today we have Stan Pannone. Stan is a 14th generation Erme Qigong master trained extensively with Grandmaster Fu Wang Zhang. His teachings in Erme Qigong focus on using universal energy called Wuji for holistic healing. Stan conducts weekly Zoom classes. He guides participants to elevate their vibrational frequency. And as a certified sound healer, he employs gongs, Tibetan singing bowls, and more for a whole transformative healing experience. In his private session, Stan also shares ancient wisdom, fostering optimal health and spiritual growth. Thank you so much for being here, Stan. I'm so excited to talk to you a little bit more.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, that was quite an intro. It sounds like you do all kinds of different sound and healing modalities and different energy work. And I'm just so excited to learn more about Qigong. And I know I was trying to pronounce things there properly, but you seem like the best person to go to because I've started to hear a little bit more about that. And I know I found you and your website and all that on LinkedIn. And it just seems like you are very masterful in your craft. So I really appreciate you being here.
Oh no, I'm really happy that you asked me to be here and get a chance to talk about Qigong. In particular, the style that I do is Erme Qigong, and it's derived from Mount Erme in China, one of the four most sacred mountains in the country. So I'm happy to talk about it. So thank you for asking me to be here.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, that was one of the first things I was going to ask you is how the Erme Qigong is different than what I normal practices, or I know that it gets into a lot of different variety here, but you mentioned, tell me more, it's from a specific, like a mountain in China?
Yes, a specific mountain. And Qigong itself goes back about 2,500 years, and it's derived mostly from Taoism and even Confucianism. And then Buddhism was introduced also. But our particular style of Qigong was derived in 1227. There was a monk that was on top of the mountain, Mount Erme, and his name was Bunyan, or White Cloud. And he took a lot of different styles of even martial arts, acupuncture, all different kinds of energy styles. And he really put together this really comprehensive healing art. And this healing art has been handed down from monk to monk, generation after generation, all the way into the 1940s, when it started becoming available to the average person. So it's quite a history. So it goes back about 1,200 years in the written form.
And you've been doing it yourself, it says, for like about 14 or 15 years, something like that?
Actually, I started in 2006. And from there, I'm from Connecticut originally. I'm living out in Arizona now. And I started with a Qigong master that was teaching a different style. And I stayed with him for a couple of years, and then I was introduced into the Erme system, and I just knew that it was something that I wanted to pursue. So I started really honing in on Erme Qigong and everything that it has to offer.
Wow. And what got you into Qigong in the first place? Like, it seems kind of, I know it's a very deeply Eastern tradition, but it's becoming more, a little bit more popular here in like Western cultures. But what got you hooked into it, especially like almost 20 years ago?
Well, I started out in my 20s, which was a few more years than I want to admit, and not doing Qigong, but I was doing transcendental meditation. So I was introduced to this type of quiet yin style. I don't want to call it transformational, but very inner self analysis and to work with yourself on building a strong qi field and really getting in touch with your internal energy and also connecting outwardly through that. And so I did that for a long time. And then I got involved with martial arts and I became a black belt in Tung Sa Do and taught that for several years, but then started getting up into like my 40s and martial arts could become a little tough on your body. So I went and I started actually studying some yoga. Although if you saw me do yoga, you would not call me like a great yoga person, but I really studied it for a long time. And I always went towards this Eastern type philosophy. And then in 2006, I discovered Qigong. And when I saw it, I knew that it was something I just had to go for.
Yeah, I see. And I want to ask about the spiritual like component, because obviously people are doing like karate with their kids and martial arts and some of the Eastern traditions and things, but where does Qigong really bring in like a very important spiritual element? Or was that component also important for you, like as you were kind of becoming more spiritual with it, as well as just a physical healing modality?
Well, the martial arts is wonderful. And if kids have themselves studying martial arts, the discipline alone is worth it. Having to take tests, having to have some humility, there's a lot of pluses to martial arts. And some of that is infused in our Mei Qigong, but our healing art is based on healing. So the self-defense part of martial arts was kind of taken out of our Mei Qigong. And some of our forms reference the martial arts. They show some of the movement and stuff, but everything we do is about breathing, connecting with our internal organs, that sort of thing. So martial arts is very much part of the Qigong tradition, whether it's infused directly or indirectly, but it's all part of it.
Wow. And so you're very focused on the spiritual and the healing component. What kind of healing is coming from this? Like what types of physical or issues are you working with your clients on, or what kind of transformative results are people getting by going deep in with Qigong?
Well, the spiritual side kind of happens organically. We work with knowing that trapped emotions eventually can become a physical problem, right? That's something that's been well documented, not only in our Mei Qigong, but in other ways. So what we do is we really work with the five elements, all right? Traditional Chinese medicine, five elements, and that's infused into our Mei Qigong, into our art. So very often when we do things, it's really to get our organs vibrating, our organs communicating, being able to clear some of these emotional blockages that we have in our body. So we really start connecting and connecting the dots in our body and moving the energy in a way that's very helpful. And let me give you an example. Liver qi, for instance, which is derived from the springtime wood energy, very often it's associated with anger and frustration. And very often your energy can get blocked. And when that happens, you just don't move your qi and your blood like you should. So we can go in with healing sounds. There's things called micro trainings. Our forms approach doing this. And so we can go in and start using this stuff, these forms and all these movements, along with breathing and visualization to get that energy moving. And so when that starts happening, a lot of the physical ailments just either go away or they get subsided.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing, because it sounds like from what we know, we're learning more about the way that the body is storing emotions and feelings that are needing to be, a lot of times they're rooted in trauma. And I guess that's what you're talking about, is it's kind of like constricted energy that needs to be kind of released. And so your Qigong and the sound and everything is helping to release those blockages and like being even like things rooted, I guess, in trauma and like nervous system and things like that as well.
Yeah, well, we get into what's called the Wuji state. And the Wuji state is really the state of true empty. So when we can empty out our mind, we can go from the critical thinking part of our brain, right, which is very analytical, and we can get into that subconscious mind that's very difficult to get to on your own. And when we get there, all of a sudden, these different things start coming up. And the way we work when we're doing work on ourselves is we try to have no attachment to whatever emotion comes up. Attachments really cause a lot of pain in our life. So our whole thing is to be able to get energy to just move through your body and out without getting attached, without having to analyze it, without having blame attached. So that Wuji state takes a little practice. It's in a lot of our forms. But once you get that, it's a little bit like riding a bicycle. You're never going to forget it. And the feeling is so very powerful. So that's all part of it. And let me just say about our Mei Chi Gong, yes, we do healings. We do a lot of individual healings. We do distance healing. We have a lot of techniques for that. But we also like to work with people. So like a typical healing session, somebody will go home with different things to practice on their own. And Grandmaster Fu, who's the 13th lineage holder of our Mei Chi Gong, he likes to say the best people you can work with is when it's 50-50. You do 50% of the work and they do 50% of the work. And then they have invested interest in their own health. And so that's what makes it, I think, very special. And the fact it's all geared towards healing, the whole art, everything we do, it's the entire frequency, whether we're doing healing sounds or one of the forms or a micro training or working on somebody individually, it's all the same frequency.
Wow, amazing. Yeah, I read a little bit about, I have a book called Tao Science, and this Wuji state, it sounds to me a lot like the zero point. I don't know if that's something that you're familiar, like in quantum energy healing or some quantum sciences, they talk about this coming into zero point balance. Is that something similar? And I know it's a little bit from Taoism.
Yeah, well, it's somewhat similar. Yes. I mean, I can't say it's not. We study a specific work with a specific frequency. So I'm sure some of it might cross over, but ours is a specific frequency that comes right from Mount Hermei. And even some of the hand movements we do, we're connecting with the mountain. So everything we're doing is coming through that same frequency. So I can't say that something else isn't really effective, because there's some wonderful things and great practitioners out there. So yeah. I'm not an expert on anything anybody else does, but I have done, but I have done a lot of Mei Chi Gong.
Yeah, of course. No worries. Well, I didn't realize it was a specific frequency. Like sometimes I'll be listening to things that are like, oh, 526 hertz is the best for this, or things like, is it sort of like that, where there's a specific hertz that you're continuously bringing in through sound and stuff, and it's all like this kind of measurable frequency that's doing a lot of this work?
Well, the sound part is very interesting. I do sound baths, and I have over 30 vibrational instruments in that room when I start, and we go through and we really try to build a soundscape, something very interesting. So you're using very low frequencies. I think you could see over one of my shoulders, this side, okay? You can see a gong there. I have like five of the gongs that are even larger than that in my sound healing session. And then we have different crystal bowls, singing bowls, some hand instruments, shruti boxes, monochords, those sort of things. So I know a lot has been written about specific sounds for different chakras and everything. I found that everybody's a little bit different. So when you get into the sound aspect, you could have two people sitting next to each other and one responds differently than the other in terms of what they feel and where it actually works through their body. So the specific frequencies come into play in a lot of ways, but I found it's different on everybody. So most of the time when we do this type of work, we're doing something pretty similar from day to day. It's how you react to it. So you never just quite know where you're getting. You may do a bowl one day and somebody really feels it in their, say, root chakra, and the next day they're feeling it more in their heart chakra. So I never like to question it. I just like to kind of follow the chi and go along with it. Frequencies do, however, come into play if you're using tuning forks, because those tuning forks are specific frequencies. But sound healing is a very powerful tool. And I'll let you ask another question, and I'll let you know how I got involved with sound with the Hermei system. So go ahead.
No, I'm curious about how it is, because you mentioned some of the different tools. I know the tuning forks you mentioned are for different chakras in the body. So yeah, how did you get into this, like specifically around sound? Because I know it's like a very, there's a lot of different tools and modalities out there.
Well, I'm a musician at heart. I started when I was 12 years old. You can't see, but I have a whole guitar collection over to my right side. And I've been playing music my whole life. And Sound Bats started getting popular 2012 to 2015, 16 in that area. And I started going to a lot of sound healing sessions. And again, some wonderful players, really, really talented people, very dedicated. And I always said, that's something I can do. So I started doing it more for a hobby. And then I ended up getting certified. And then I went to the first international sound forum they had. It was actually in Connecticut. And right after that, Grandmaster Fu came to Connecticut to teach a level one seminar. And he spent almost 30 days at my house teaching this seminar, very in-depth seminar. And they asked me to do a sound healing, sound bath for the students. And here I am, an Hermé Qigong practitioner. And I wasn't sure how Grandmaster was going to like it. I just didn't know if it was something I should get involved in or show him. So I ended up doing a sound healing and I did some chanting and I infused the sound bath with the Hermé frequency and was so great because at the end of it, he took me aside and he says, that's something you really have to work with. So he gave me his blessing to infuse it into this wonderful healing art, the healing arts of Hermé Qigong. So I've been doing it ever since. So my sound baths are kind of interesting. We do some chanting, we work with some healing sounds, and then we get into this deep meditation using the instrument. So it was just kind of one of those things that just happened, wasn't planned. And sometimes those have the best outcomes.
Yeah, that's interesting and how you're able to merge to the two traditions a little bit and create your own sort of style and practice that attracts people and has its own unique kind of uniqueness. So that's wonderful. You said you work with people remotely. I know in person, obviously, with the sound baths, but does it work well when you have clients all over the world now over Zoom? Or what are you doing to help people who are maybe not in your local vicinity?
Well, you can do energy work anywhere in the world. Some of my clients are from Spain, England, Germany, all over the United States. And I do also local healings for people in person. But energy really doesn't have any boundaries like that. It's only our mental limitations that hold that back. So that's not difficult at all. And up until like, I don't know, 6 months ago, maybe a little longer, Zoom was a little difficult to use for sound because it filled up whatever the bandwidth was, and then it would shut the sound off, right? So I had a really hard time incorporating sound healing. But now they, and I'm not, this is not an advertisement for Zoom, but they have a musician's feature now. And if you put that on, as long as you don't go overboard with the gongs, you can now do sound healing. And so I bring some of that in. And let me just show you one thing, if I may.
Yeah. Oh, please. Yes. Thank you.
This is a sound bowl that I bought from somebody right from Nepal. It's 300 years old.
Wow. It's an ancient item right there.
Yeah, it really is. And it's really cool because it connects in a way that almost takes you through a healing. So I use this bowl and it's a strong healing bowl. And that thing, I get people really calling up and saying, could you just use the bowl on me today? I'm a little out of sorts. It's kind of fun. So I've incorporated a lot of sound. I use tuning forks also. And then always connecting to the Hermé frequency. So no matter what I do, I feel I'm running through that frequency. It's just the different instruments are just an extension of that.
Wow, I love it. Yeah, that's wonderful. People are asking for the specific bowl with the superpowers, huh? Yeah, the ancient bowl.
Well, they call it the Super Bowl.
the real Super Bowl, the original. Yeah, that's awesome. And so how long do people need to work with you in order to kind of see results? Because I know that it's not just a maybe one and done thing, but like it sounds like people are coming back for more visits and more frequency. Do they want to keep doing it more and more as they're seeing results? Or how long does it really take to see some changes?
Well, I don't really like to have somebody depend on me, okay? So my goal is, no, and I mean this in a healthy way. It's not that I don't enjoy the people or even enjoy the money, but my goal is to get somebody to move through and pick up enough information, learn enough about themselves, and learn some techniques. So really, it's for some people, it's just a healing. They just want a healing. They just want to feel a little better. They want to clear some things out.
I heard you answering about people not becoming dependent on you and doing some of this work themselves. And that makes sense because I know you mentioned the Grandmaster. He says that it's best if it's 50-50 or people are also doing some homework at home, right? And doing things on their own and not just coming to your center or your only for you, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some people that need a little more than others, and there's no timetable. There's no right or wrong. There's no judgment on it. So you take people where they are and you work with them. And if it happens to be something they have to come back often, that's fine. If it's something that they're kind of self-starters and want to learn a little bit and go to classes and kind of join in, they can do a lot of the healing themselves. So it has a lot of versatility like that.
Right. That's awesome. And so what kind of stories are we getting where people are healing certain things? Like what kind of examples or clients are getting amazing results with this? Like what are people really working on? I know there's physical issues, probably mental. Like what's some of the best transformations that you've seen with this work?
Well, we've had the last 3-4 years of some very unusual circumstances, let's put it that way. And there's a lot of fear in the world. So fear is a big one. So you try to move through that fear. That's all related to the kidneys, right? So so sometimes kidney, bladder, that's one of the areas that people start feeling a little bogged down. And their kidneys may not, that's our life force, that's our Jing, all right? That's our longevity. So you start clearing out some of that. And very often it's like unpeeling an onion, right? You start clearing one thing and something else unveils itself. But a lot of people have deep-seated fears. And this doesn't have to be from the last 3 or 4 years. It could have been something very early childhood. It could have even been pre-birth. So we get involved in a lot of those type of scenarios. And we really like to work with the organs. We do chakra work as well. But the organs are a really great place to start. And it goes back to the original beginnings of traditional Chinese medicine. But we work with the energy part of the five elements, right? The organs. Traditional Chinese medicine uses herbs and acupuncture and massage, that sort of thing. So some of that goes hand in hand. And then we also have some very interesting programs. We have a program called Be Goo, which actually is it's food therapy and learning how to meditate. So you eat less and your body becomes more efficient. So you don't have to eat as much. If you notice people that stress eat and really just always going up 2-3 times to eat, sometimes energetically, they need to boost their system. They need an energy boost. So the more Qigong you do, sometimes the better you can become in terms of eating. And then they start making better food choices once you start learning a little bit about food therapy. But the Bigu seminar that I teach and that all of our teachers have available, it's actually a seminar to teach you through meditation to actually close down your stomach. And you get off grains, you get off meats, you get off dairy, you still eat, but you can really start balancing your system and detoxing and things like that. So it's a pretty deep system. And so you don't know what somebody needs. But I just did a Bigu seminar. There's a lot of great reports on that. And people are feeling better about themselves and taking weight off the right way. So getting back to the original premise, the stronger your energy field is, the less your body requires food. So that's the major thing that I'm trying to emphasize.
Yeah, I've heard that, especially with like people activating spiritually and then not needing to eat as much. I've even heard about breatharians or people just in the like monks in ancient traditions just not needing any food or sustenance, very little is required, right? Not to make it sound like that's what we're all doing, but yeah, I think I didn't realize there's that new nutrition and food component as well, because I know a little bit about Chinese medicine and acupuncture, all of that, but really doing it holistically and helping people from a dietary and nutrition standpoint, it must be very important. Yeah.
Yeah, it's important and it's actually very interesting because food's expensive nowadays. I mean, so you really have to make your choices wisely. And you start thinking about food as more fuel and what does my body need? And then you start paying closer attention to how your body reacts to different things rather than just being tired, getting home late, stuffing something, which we've all done, or be a stress eater, that sort of thing. So you sort of take a step back. You kind of feel your way through energetically. And if you're into really developing your spirituality and looking towards anything close to enlightenment, All right. That being more of a vegan, and I'm not pushing being a vegan, but working more with vegetables and less animal products and that sort of thing will get you there a lot faster. I can tell you that from personal experience. So I go in and out with some of this stuff. But when I really want to get into some very deep spirituality, I do go in that direction because it's less stress on your body. It's easier to digest and it really brings it to a different level. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, interesting. And it's also like lower like density foods or heavier density foods have more of a, I guess, toll on our bodies energetically. And so, yeah, if you're stuffing your body with meat and things that are heavy, it's like working against your all your systems, right? Your energy systems. And yeah, and tell me a little bit about the way that it's specifically things about the organs, because you mentioned like the kidneys. So does Qigong look at the health of the organ and then it tells you where things are out of alignment, or look at something that's out of alignment and kind of tell you what to work on? Like how does it map out what needs to be addressed in the system?
Well, first of all, everybody would benefit from this, right? Every single season is associated, or every season is associated with a specific organ. So we're basically on a Chinese calendar now, we're in the wood season, which is our liver. So if you were doing things for liver, developing your liver qi and vibrating your liver and harmonizing your liver, and you had micro trainings and you were working specific things, everybody would benefit. So that's a very easy one to do. And the second one that's very easy to do is if you have specific symptoms, right? If you have specific symptoms, you very often can go right back to the specific organ and work on that organ. And then we have forms like we do the 18 method form. We do that every Monday afternoon, Arizona time. And we work with that. It says 18 different movements, and every single one is associated with a different organ and also a different meridian that are supportive of the organ, so the different tributaries. So it's very interesting. So once you start getting familiar with the energy and you start seeing how people react and you see the symptoms that are going on, sometimes you could even get a little information from a blood test at a doctor's appointment. But it's pretty easy to start figuring this out once you get into it. And then we have the mental aspect of that, right? So we can go back and we can look at how to release some of this trapped energy, these emotions, and you see the physicality improve. Or we can just go in and do some breathing and movement and sounds to get it moving, you know? So we have a lot of different ways to look at it, and it's not exactly the same for everybody, but I do a chanting class. I call it chanting, singing, and toning your way to better health. And that's every Friday morning. And what we do with that is we go through all these healing sounds and we really try to vibrate and harmonize all our organs. And we put the sounds in with specific movements. So the breathing, the sounds, the mind intention, we bring in visualization, imagery, really comes together, and it's actually very powerful.
Amazing. I love it. So yeah, tell me a little bit more where people can find you, because it said you mentioned the Monday classes, the Friday classes. Like how many of these things do you do for people who are looking to maybe start to tune in or not necessarily? I know you're in Arizona, but where people can have an opportunity to start doing this work remotely, or where can people find you best? Because I also know you have your website and maybe some social media. So yeah, where should people go if they're really interested in learning more about these things?
Well, I teach three classes online on Monday, right?
Okay.
And this is all Arizona time. And believe me, that's a tricky thing because we don't do daylight savings time. So every daylight savings time is like it's like a new world. People are late.
Yeah.
Everybody gets so messed up. And so we're not in sync with the rest of the country like that. But so you have to check your time versus Arizona time. So 9 a.m. and we're going to be switching to 4 p.m. And then we do a 6 o'clock evening class on Monday. And I have about 4 or 5 different classes that I rotate. And then that Monday also, I teach a live class in Del Webb, Vail, Arizona. Then on Wednesday, I teach again in Vail, Arizona, Del Webb. And then on Friday morning, I do the chanting class. So I have 4 classes online and 2 in person. And if they went to, and I'm going to spell this because the Erme throws people off, it's ermeharmony.com. It's EMEI Harmony, Harmony. EMEI, Qigong, Qigong, Harmony, HARMONY.com, or MeiQigongHarmony.com, and go to the calendars page and you'll see everything laid out. There's also different trainings, there's seminars, there's all kinds of different things. So,
yeah, awesome. I checked it out and I'm going to have your website listed at the bottom of this episode when it comes out, and we can post it on social media. Do you also, I know I met you on LinkedIn. Do you like people to connect with you on there or anywhere else that you like to talk about your work or anything like that?
Well, I have all the social medias that most
people.
And yeah, please, anybody, I try to answer everybody. I have a form on my website. They can fill it out. And I try to get back to anybody who contacts me about anything. I have a lot of information on my website. There's quite a bit there. You can do a lot of reading. But I'm always anxious to talk to people and see what their needs are. And if you got specific questions, please reach out. I have a Facebook group page, a Facebook business page. I'm on Instagram. And let's see, I have a YouTube channel also. And then I'm LinkedIn. So I pretty much have the whole spectrum. So wherever you can find me, please reach out. I'd be happy to talk to you.
Yeah, that's amazing, Stan. And I'm so glad I got to learn a little bit more about Qigong, because I've been meaning to, like I had a couple of weeks ago, someone talking about Ayurveda and all the ancient Indian practices and the four earth signs. And now I feel like we're learning more about other ancient traditions and how I didn't realize it was all connected into the organs and the different seasons of the year. So all of this stuff is just so helpful and beneficial for healing and our mental, physical, spiritual health, getting in alignment in that way. So I really appreciate the work you're doing. And any final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to share with our audience before we wrap up here? Any final thoughts or words you'd like to share?
Well, if you're interested in self-healing, just find something that resonates with you. Try a few different things. And if something resonates with you and you like the feeling of the frequency, sometimes you're better off staying with one type of frequency and getting better at it rather than jump from different things all across the board, because you get a little deeper when you study one that you really like. Doesn't mean you don't want to find out about other things and you don't want to keep learning. But most of these healing arts are very deep in their own right. So don't be afraid to explore. And that's a wonderful world. And we got the rest of our life to study it. So I encourage people to get involved. And hopefully I'll see some of these people in my classes.
Yeah, definitely. And we all are on this healing journey. There's always something to work on within ourselves, and just having the different tools and techniques and modalities that are available out there. And I really like what you said about finding the one that resonates the best with you, because like I come from a Muslim tradition, so we have a whole other background spiritually and religiously, but it feels like more and more people are really opening up to all these different ancient traditions, ancient spiritual practices that are in alignment, and they don't violate any particular religion or belief system. And so it's like the best work that we can be doing in order to find these tools for healing, right?
Absolutely. There's so much out there, and I'm happy it's heading in that direction. I think when you can feel like you have some kind of control over your own health, I think that's very empowering. So yes, absolutely, Adina.
Yeah, thank you so much, Stan. Well, we'll call it a wrap, and I hope to have you again on in the future. And anyone who's interested in Stan's work, we're going to have those links to all your socials and your website, everything listed under this episode. Please reach out, or you can find me at my website, adinamobana.com. And yeah, thank you so much, Stan. It was great having you, and I look forward to chatting again soon.
We'll meet again. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode today. Please share your biggest takeaway with me via our community. For new listeners, thank you for tuning in. I invite anyone to explore the resources, links, and show notes available on my website, www.adinamobana.com. If a topic or discussion piqued your curiosity or interest today during the show, you can easily find it there at that website. And if you have any specific topics you would like me to cover, feel free to email me at em@adinamobana.com. Thank you again for joining me today, and I look forward to connecting with you again next week on Into the Light.